I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. President Barack Obama flew to Canada today for his first foreign trip since taking office. It's a relatively short stay, less than 8 hours. But as The World's Katie Clark reports, there was a lot on the agenda.
Mr. Obama went to Canada with a number of issues to discuss with his Canadian counterpart, Stephen Harper. One of them, the environment, got early attention, with the partners agreeing to collaborate on cleaner energy and reducing carbon emissions. Mr. Obama got a warm welcome in Ottawa, despite the gray skies and falling snow. Canadian reporter Katie O'Malley says the country's crazy for the new president.
Frankly, as a politician, he's a pretty impressive performer, and I don't know if you've had a lot of chance to watch our political leaders in the last little while, but the difference is quite remarkable. We don't really have anyone who can kind of stand on camera and just sort of mesmerize to that degree.
Such enthusiasm notwithstanding, the ailing economy hung heavy over President Obama's Canada trip. Canada had until recently been doing relatively well in the face of the deepening global recession. But Dean Baker of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington says recent figures show Canada's feeling the heat now.
It lost a huge number of jobs, 130,000 jobs in December, which, given the size of its population, would be equivalent to about 1.1 million in the United States. So that's a very bad story.
Manufacturing is also suffering from its largest plunge in 27 years. Each of the three big U.S. automakers has facilities in Canada, and like here, many of those plants are shutting down. Still, Canadians can be comforted by one thing. For the most part, their banks didn't engage in risky lending practices. Mark Mullins is executive director of the Fraser Institute, a conservative economic think tank based in Vancouver.
We only have a handful of banks. It's the European-style universal banking system. So really, we've got five very large banks that are national in scope, involved in all manner of finance, aside from insurance, I should add. And I think that gives you some stability, some heft.
Canada's banking system actually won the title of the world's healthiest last year in a ranking by the World Economic Forum. The United States came in 40th. Avery Schenfeld is a senior economist with the banking giant CIBC in Toronto.
No economy can be an island unto itself. And when you're a country with only roughly 30 million people, it's pretty hard to avoid what's happening outside your borders. That said, we didn't have bad mortgages given out to people who couldn't afford them. So some of the structural problems that are becoming so difficult to cure elsewhere in the U.S. and Europe really aren't at this point as big an issue in Canada.
That's in large part due to greater regulation of banking and investment practices in Canada. Those practices are now being studied elsewhere. And it would seem Canada's reputation for being rather safe, if not dull, looks more appealing these days. Again, Avery Schenfeld.
I remember a headline contest that New Canadian Initiative was chosen as the most boring possible headline you could have in a newspaper. And to some extent, Canadian business leaders, regulators are a bit, perhaps a bit less flashy in the good times, and therefore a bit better able to be prepared for the bad times.
But Canada's hoping the bad times don't last too long. With over a decade of budget surpluses, the federal government is ready to spend a bit more now to help get the economy back on track. Much of the spending is expected to be for infrastructure development rather than bank bailouts. For The World, this is Katie Clark.